My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Joining us right now, who we have to read the read for, because he's sponsored. He's that important. On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly, and Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly of Lincoln, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, I should say, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. And with that, we want to welcome on the former head coach of the Washington Redskins and offensive coordinator, if I could speak in English, of the Bengals and the Jaguars, and Mr. Underdog Fantasy and a cool all-around dude, Jay Gruden, with us on the BetQL guest hotline. Hello, Jay. How are you?
Chris, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I am doing well. All right, so let's obviously get to it. I haven't had a chance to talk to you since the end of the Commanders Ravens game. If you had to say there was one thing that you would point a finger to and say that's why they lost, meaning the Commanders, you would say what?
That big son of a gun that plays for Baltimore.
Derrick Henry.
That guy, yeah. And the inability to really to get him down a couple times. He's just a monster. And right now Washington looks like they're a little bit undermanned on the front a little bit. They got pushed around just a hair. Obviously, time of possession was in Baltimore's favor, and Washington just couldn't quite keep up. But, I was happy the way they played. I still think they were very competitive throughout the game. Obviously, the running game wasn't what it used to be without Brian Robinson Jr. That hurt a little bit. They only had 18 attempts. Six of them were from Jaden. But for the most part, they competed. They're down 7 with every opportunity to get a stop on the last drive and possibly get the ball back. But unfortunately, Derrick Henry sealed the deal.
Yeah. So here's where I wanted to go with you, and I certainly obviously respect your opinion. I slightly disagree. I thought they lost it because they overloaded trying to control and limit not only Derrick Henry from a running perspective, but also Lamar and his play extension with his legs. They played a lot of single high. They played a lot of 8 in the box. I don't have all the numbers in front of me, but they did what I think you should do, try and limit, control, contain both of those guys. And it exposed them on the back end, and the Ravens ran all sorts of crossers and had wide open holes in the zone, and that allowed Lamar, along with not having a great pass rush, to just pick and play catch all afternoon long. That's what I put it on. Did you see it a different way?
You're exactly right.
Okay.
That also is the result of Derrick Henry
and
Lamar in the running game. So you have to pick your poison. You're either gonna try to get an extra guy in there to stop and limit Derrick and Lamar and put your corners in risk and playing a lot of single high and outside leverage. So that opens up a lot of crossing routes. And Baltimore did a great job of play calling with crossing routes and then breaking routes with outside leverage, and they got open. Lamar hit them. But yeah, that's the result of having Derek. If Derek's not back there and it's just Justice Hill and Lamar, then you're probably going to see more cover two quarters and match coverages. But with Derek, he got no choice. I mean, you know, the defensive line is not playing good enough to play light boxes at this time. You know, hopefully they get some guys healthy. Maybe they could do that in the future, but not against Baltimore, not Sunday.
Yeah, no, I agree with you going back to your first answer. I said it this way. I think he had more of an influence than as much influence as he had impact, if that makes sense, right? Because of what you have to do to overcommit to not only shutting down limiting, you're not shutting down anybody, limiting both of those guys and their play extension or their ability with their legs, obviously different styles, of course. It's influence for me even over impact. And I know the numbers were not pretty, but 27 came late. Granted, the game was still in the balance. They didn't stop them and they lost. I guess I didn't think that the Commanders, being there live, Jay, I didn't think that the Commanders were run off the floor, run off the field, like we've seen on some ugly days, right? Where, you know, you were just gashed and gashed time and time again. I understand the numbers didn't look pretty. I just didn't think they were embarrassed, if that makes sense.
No, not at all. They held three field goals for Tucker. They got an interception, and they held them to a punt. That's five stops, right? Basically, the defense got. So that's pretty good. And unfortunately, Washington couldn't capitalize on a couple of drives that they had. But I think they played hard. They played pretty good. That's a tough place to play at Baltimore against one of the better teams in the National Football League. And they gave up a few big hits in the passing game. Lamar had a great day. And you mentioned, obviously, Derek had his few hits. But for the most part, it was competitive all the way up until the end, until Lamar kneeled the ball out.
Yeah. If you were, and obviously you're a head coach and an offensive coordinator, so you've never been a defensive coordinator, but you know defenses. If you were cooking up a defensive scheme or ideology or whatever, is basically what Joe Witt and Dan Quinn did yesterday what you would do against those two guys and take your chances that way?
Yeah, probably. I think you have to, especially with, like I said, the limited players up front defensively, defensive ends, and I think the tackles are a little bit light right now. I think that's you could roll the dice a couple times, maybe a couple times on first down, second down, play a little cover two just to keep them honest. They were majority of time in single high, man-to-man, or cover three or 3D fire zone. So maybe I would have thrown in a little bit more cover two, but I have no problem with what they did because, you know, I think they ultimately felt like their corners could hold up with Flowers and Bateman. Andrews had a couple of hits, obviously, one down the middle and one on a corner out, but I don't think, say, Flowers and Bateman scare anybody. So I think Baltimore in the future is going to see a lot of single high safeties with people loaded up in the box and saying, hey, if we're going to lose, it's going to be Bateman or Flowers. It's not going to be Derrick Henry and Lamar.
And I thought, you know, when the Commanders did play a lot of, you know, zone, it was kind of like a soft zone. Like, hey, like, you know, let's not get beat over the top when we're dropping back and when we're trying to play a little softer. And that led to wide open, again, swaths of land that Lamar Jackson could pick on. All right. So from that perspective, I understand all that. From a Jaden Daniels perspective, you tweeted something, and I just want to pull it up here real quickly, @coach_JayGruden, of course. Anyone think Ben Johnson regrets turning down the Redskins job? Even though they lost, Jaden is the command, is the man. And then you said, sorry, Commanders. Is that Jay Gruden poking the bear a little bit, or how are we supposed to read that?
I was watching Detroit just go crazy. I know Ben Johnson's one of the top coordinators. He's going to get a job. But, you know, not very often do you get a job with an opportunity to coach a guy like Jaden Daniels. You know, maybe he didn't know how good Jaden was coming out in this year's draft. You know, once you get your job, you want to have a quarterback there that you can count on and be there for the next 10, 15 years. And I think Jaden is that guy. You know, I think Dan Quinn's going to – you can buy a nice house here and be very comfortable with – the quarterback he has in place here. And I typed Redskins. I meant Commanders.
It's okay.
You know, that's what I meant.
I just had to, you know, sort of ask and somewhat bust your chops.
I just can't bring myself to call him Commanders. It just bugs me. Anyway, I love Jaden, and I just wondered. I mean, what do you think? Do you think Ben regrets it at all?
You know, it's so hard for me to figure out because, right, he's going and kicking ass. And, I mean, look at what he's done the last two opponents to Seattle on the Monday night and then Dallas. And I understand both defenses were really short. I mean, Jay, they're not only running the ball really well and Goff's, you know, throwing the ball all over the yard, but they're running one or two fancy schmancy little trick hook and ladder flip floppy type plays every game and nobody can stop them. I mean, very creative.
They're doing a great job. They have a you know, that's probably part of the reason why he probably wanted to go back for another year, because he knew the offensive line is the best offensive line in football. They have an unbelievable tight end, Sam Laporta. They have two of the best 1-2 combination in backs. They have one of the best receivers in football, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. So, yeah, he probably said, you know what, I must just take one more year and then take my pick next year, which is nothing wrong with that.
But yeah.
Had he known how good Jaden Daniels was, I just wondered. I just throwing it out there. I mean,
no, it's fair. That's fair. Yeah. I mean, and who knows? I mean, you know, it obviously won't happen here because Dan Quinn is not going anywhere. But, you know, maybe he'll wind up, you know, with a top quarterback somewhere else. But I don't know. I look at the college crop this year. And it doesn't look like there's anybody, at least early on or midway through, like Jaden Daniels. Jay Gruden is with us on the BetQL guest hotline, brought to you as always by Ted Britt Automotive Group, with us here on the Team 980. All right, so just back, you know, to the Commanders for a sec. You know, the way I said it was, I thought he was good to very good. I don't know if he was great. He missed a couple of things on for my liking, but that's going to happen in every game, in every situation. What was your assessment ultimately? Was he great, or was he just good to very good?
I was impressed with them because they were in more known passing situations and a come from behind fashion in this game more so than any other game, maybe other than Tampa in the first game of the year. So I was excited to see him still stand in the pocket and deliver some key throws and keep him in it. You know, when Baltimore scored to go up 14, everybody's like, this game's over. And what did Jaden do? They took him right down the field and scored, cut it to 7. Mm-hmm. And then Baltimore went down, kicked the field goal up 10, and Jaden took him right down, kicked the field goal, cut it to 7. So that he was keeping them in pace and still had a chance to win the game. He missed a couple throws, sure. But for the most part, I thought he did a pretty good job against a tough defense up front for the Ravens.
Jay Gruden is with us. All right, so Terry catches the two touchdowns. I wanted to ask you about the first one. If you could remember, like, what happened. It looked like Jaden kind of read someone, maybe Olamide Zaccheaus, in the corner and then scanned back to Terry and put it pretty much in a spot where only Terry could get it. Great catch, great throw, great read. I mean, when you see Jaden do, I guess, stuff that we typically see out of the veteran greats, right, that gives you an early indication. Not every rookie quarterback can do some of the things that he's doing from a technical and from a processing and from an eye manipulation standpoint. Is that fair, or...?
Yeah, no, that's an impressive play. You know, Zaccheaus was running a little, in and back out to hold the corner, and Terry was coming from the other side of the field to the back of the end zone on top of the safety. He just was very patient, and he had to have great touch and anticipation for that type of throw. And fortunately, Kyle Hamilton bit down for whatever reason, and he threw it over the top of his head. But yeah, accuracy and touch, he's shown all that. Anticipation, he's shown all that. You know, so there really isn't anything that he hasn't shown in a six-game stretch that I've seen. You know, maybe driving the ball on a deep curl route with some pace, maybe that's about it. But for the most part, he's done everything. He's done it in the pocket, outside the pocket, used his legs, read defenses. I mean, so far, I mean, I can't find a real flaw, can you?
Well, I mean, the only thing is, I wonder, am I nitpicking, right? Like, you know, he missed Noah Brown wide open on a third down, little roll to his right, kind of scramble to his right, airmailed him. Bad throws are going to happen, right? But the read was there. Everything else was right. The first part of it, everything was great. I thought he missed Terry in the red zone on one. They ran a 3-by-1 after motion to the left side. Maybe the safety was over the top, but I thought he was taking the other receiver. I don't know, Jay. And then he got sacked. I mean, there were a couple of little things that you can nitpick, but I guess the big things that you see, never mind with rookie quarterbacks, you see it with a lot of veteran quarterbacks. I mean, you know, I've defended Daniel Jones. I know you like Daniel Jones. I think you like Daniel Jones. He looked terrible last night, right, against a defense that had been struggling. I know everybody has bad games, but we see things from Jaden that we don't even get from veteran quarterbacks, guys that were first-round picks 6-7 years ago.
Well, I said this last week. If you looked at the first five games, he's in in talks with MVP, not just rookie of the year. I mean, he's playing as good as anybody in the league. C.J. Stroud, I mean, you talked about him and obviously Lamar, obviously Patrick. You know, and after that, I think you got to go to Jaden. I mean, maybe Minnesota, you know, Detroit. Obviously, Goff's put together two back-to-back games, unbelievable football. So there's about 6 to 7 quarterbacks that are probably in line for MVP talks at this stage of the season, and Jaden's definitely one of them. That's how good he's playing.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I said I had him at 5, I think, going into last week in terms of the MVP, but I mean, you know, look.
Long way to go.
Yeah, long way to go. Exactly. I agree with you.
But he has shown that to be talked about in that class, which is quite phenomenal for a first-year guy with a team that was not very good last year.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Agreed. Jay Gruden with us. All right, so you you drafted Jonathan Allen, now the report is from Tom Pelissero of NFL Network that he's torn his pec, seeking a second opinion, likely going to be out for the year. I was making the argument before you came on, like, people can think whatever they want, that he's overpaid, that he's not performing enough. Some of that is fair, if not a lot of that is fair. But I said, you know, go and replace 40-ish, you know, he's averaging somewhere high 30s, like 38, 39 snaps a game. Go ahead and try and replace that. Snap your finger and think like that doesn't have an impact on depth rotation, even though you got two young bucks in Mathis and Johnny Newton. This is going to have some sort of an impact, isn't it?
Absolutely. When you start messing around with the rotation, like you're talking about, are those big guys up front, especially when you're playing a team like Baltimore and you're going to play, you know, these teams that run the ball between the tackles. And those guys get worn out. These are big guys. They're playing off double teams and they're pursuit of the football. I mean, they're 310, 20, 30 pounds, so you have to have a good rotation. Once you start taking out your big starting guy, now your backup is a starter. Now who's going to be the rotator, a practice squad guy? Mm-hmm. Now you're in trouble. That's where the trouble starts, and hopefully he's okay in the opinion, comes back in a positive way for Jonathan.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen, but I obviously in sync with you on the loss. And that's not a disrespect to Mathis and or Johnny Newton. They are both playing fairly well, I think, if not pretty well.
Yeah, because of the rotation, they're fresh.
Exactly.
And now without Jonathan, now these guys are playing more minutes.
Yeah.
Who's going to be their backup?
And even though it's a different position, if you lose Armstrong, who was lost for the game late in the first quarter with a rib injury, I mean, who knows what the deal is with that? Javonte Jean-Baptiste was banged up after the game. If you lose, you know, two or three of those guys, now you're really asking, you know, you got to get something, I guess, out of Jamin Davis. One last thing on the Commanders. What did you make of both Jamin Davis and Emmanuel Forbes, two of the four first-round picks from Rivera, not active yesterday, and along with the other two that are not even in the organization right now? I mean, you'd say it's killing them, but they are 4-2, and somehow they're making up for it.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate. Those guys, you know, I think they're just trying to have – I think they're having trouble finding a spot for Jamin. I don't think they want to play him off the ball, and I don't think he's really an on-the-ball player. It's good enough to do that. And then, obviously, Forbes just has not performed well when he's had the opportunity, whether it's injury or just production. He just doesn't play the ball very well, and he's not physical in the running game. And so they've, you know, they've struggled, both those guys, unfortunately. And when that happens, you can't get married to your draft picks. You know, if they don't perform the way you thought they would once you drafted them and they're not good enough, you got to replace them. And you can't just leave them out in the field and put your team in liability.
No doubt. All right, the Dallas Cowboys got trashed again at home. They're 0-3 now, Jay, and the Baltimore loss was a three-point loss, but they gave up nearly 30 points. The other two, they've given up like 44 and 48 points at home. You go back to the final, the playoff game last year against Green Bay, they've given up 40-plus points in three out of their last home four home games, and they're 0-4. What in the world? I know they've got injuries. I got it. I understand that. Is that it, or is there something else?
Well, last year when Coach Quinn was there, you know, they got gutted by Green Bay in a running game and a pass game at home, and it's carried over. They didn't really address anything on their defense. You know, here's our problems. What are we going to do to address it? And all they did was bring in Kendricks, the middle linebacker, and they got a guy off IR. The defensive line still intact. They're just too little. They just get pushed around. You watch the tape, and there's some holes for David Montgomery that you can't even make up. And then, you know, Mike Zimmer's strength as a defensive coordinator is a little blitz, and his double A's and his cool little blitzes, but he can't get to them because there's never any third downs. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is brutal. So defensively, they have problems. And then offensively, their running game, I don't know, you know, how you can go into a season with Rico Dowdle and Ezekiel Elliott. Losing Pollard, you got to replace. You got to have some spark back there. Somebody has some juice. You can't just rely on Prescott to throw the ball 35, 45 times a game.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, the Eagles, they win a tight one. They get a couple of their guys back over Cleveland. I don't care about the game so much. I mean, the Eagles should have won. All right, the fans were pissed. And Nick Sirianni is up there, you know, motioning and gesticulating and yelling and what have you. Now, Jay, you're a fiery guy. I don't remember you ever doing that. What did you make out of Sirianni if you saw that video at the end of the game yelling and doing whatever he was to the fans?
I don't know. I don't know why he would do that. And that is a little weird. I mean, I always had a headset on, so I can never hear the fans. Thank God. I might have done it myself, but I could never hear anything. The last thing I want to do is get in a shouty match with a fan. You know, I'm yelling at my players and my coaches enough. I don't need to yell at the fans, too. So, yeah, I always try to appreciate the fans. I'm glad they came out, whether they booed us and yelled at us or not. But I was very appreciative of them coming. I would never get to fight with a fan.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's hard.
I'd probably get my ass whooped anyway.
It's hard to win that battle, man. You know, because, like, they won a game. And, I mean, you just know how it is, you know, in Philadelphia this week, right? And it's not just today. You win a game. All right, granted, it's not the prettiest win in the world. I gotcha. And fans are going to look at it from, like, it's not just a win is a win is a win. But you win a game, and it's almost like you lost because the head coach is up there stirring up all sorts, a hornet's nest unnecessarily, right? And that's the way. And he's like, you know, well, like, I love our fans. I love when they cheer us. We get a boost from that. But, you know, it's not great when they boo. Well, guess what? It's not great when they have to pay $125, $150 a ticket, and your product stinks.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, it's never been done. I don't remember any other coach ever going up to the stands and fighting with their own fans. I mean, it's kind of an odd situation.
Not a good look. Not a good look. One last thing before we let you go. Jay Gruden with us, @coach_Jay Gruden. Check him out under Underdog Fantasy as well. You mentioned on a podcast, I think it was the Underdog podcast, about what happened the night, morning, what have you, that you got let go here in Washington in 2019, and that your greatest regret was you didn't get a chance to say goodbye, thank you, what have you, to the players. Ultimately, I you know, everybody, every organization does it differently. That still clearly stays with you, right? That still burns you that they didn't give you that opportunity to at least say goodbye and thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I was there for over 5 years and made a lot of pretty good relationships. They weren't all great, but even the coaches, I mean, guys, I hired these guys, for God's sakes, and I worked with these guys for 17, 18 hours a day for 5.5 years. So, you know, not, you know, have to do it via text or a phone call is just not quite the same. But I understand. I mean, it happens a lot of places. Guys get fired and they get walked out of the building. I just, felt like the villain. I didn't rob the place. I tried my best. We were all a family there for a long time up until the very, very end. And all of a sudden I'm escorted out of the building and no, you can't talk to anybody. Just get out of here.
I think I went in there early
and got all my stuff.
Yeah. Well, you told that story, which is smart, because I think Mike Shanahan, your predecessor, started packing his office in like early December.
It's not a good feeling.
Yeah, exactly. I thought I read that the Jets did the same thing to Salah, that they didn't let him clean out his office, didn't let him address the team, and walked him out with security. I understand you don't want any proprietary secrets and all that, but what do they think you guys are gonna do?
What are we gonna take? There's nothing. I just want to make sure I got all my playbooks and everything out of there. You know how many times I've looked at my playbooks since I got fired. Zero. So I really didn't have to go back and get those. But just in case I ever do coach again, it'd be good to have them.
Right. Well, you probably looked at them when you went to Jacksonville, no? Or
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
So after Jacksonville,
I forgot I had a year.
I gotcha.
Yeah. After Jacksonville,
I gotcha. All right, Jay. Thank you as always. Good stuff. And don't let Grant and Danny bully you into thinking that they're better than they. Okay.
You got it. Thanks, Chris.
Appreciate you. That is Jay Gruden on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.